Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, November 13, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. We continue our study at verse 6. Romans 5, verse 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, a couple of things before we get started this morning. Yesterday, Saturday, was Don Lebchick's birthday. This is the happy birthday, Captain Darlin. Why is he called Captain Darlin? Well, it's better than calling him a lot of other things. He served as a captain on the Las Vegas Fire Department for years and years and years. And he has been in this congregation longer than that. And it's been an honor and a privilege for me as a pastor to have a believer like Don Lebchick in the quality all these years. He's the best of the best. And I'm sure he had a lot of great memories in the fire department. Of course, happy birthday when it's all flames over your head. You're not really so much about that. So happy birthday, Don. Now, another thing. This Saturday, November 19th, the evangelism team will be going to Child Haven. I know most of you know that. I encourage you to pray every day for that, for the evangelism team, that they will be channels of God's grace, tools in God's hands to be used by Him. Pray that the gospel will be given clearly and accurately. Pray that God will draw by His hand of grace all the children and adults that are supposed to be there. Pray that He might use it to His honor and glory to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday, November 19th. Now the other thing. Now there was a schedule put out there on the windows. But that means you have to be able to read. Schedule change this week. Classes will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday the 14th, Tuesday the 15th, Wednesday the 16th. If you come here on Thursday the 17th, then you get to help clean the floors. there is a professional team coming in, and they're going to be working on the floors, and it takes a couple of days for everything to clear out. And so classes this week will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right. Actually, I'm just kidding, because I have a congregation full of geniuses. And so blessed to have you. Thank you. We are in Romans chapter 5, awesome chapter. We studied the first paragraph, Romans 5, 1 through 5, the results of justification. Now we're in Romans 5, verses 6 through 9, which is the much more of justification. The much more of justification is in verses 6 through 9. Romans 5, 6 through 9. And to understand this paragraph, you have to understand, first of all, who and what man is like, what mankind, the human race, is like, and secondly, what God is like. You got to understand those two things. And so in Romans 5, 6 through 10, mankind, the human race, is described in four ways. It's described by the Greek word, first of all, asthenes, A-S-T-H-E-N, long E-S, asthenes, and that first word means weak, powerless, hopeless, helpless. That's the describing mankind, the entire human race. That's in verse 6. And then also in verse 6 is another word, asabase. A-S-E-B, long E-S, asabase. And asabase means godless, ungodly. And this is a technical term used in the scriptures for the unbelievers. We all come into the world as unbelievers. We come in physically alive, spiritually dead. We're totally depraved. We have no personal relationship with the living and true God. We have no fellowship with God. And we are godless, ungodly, and that describes the entire human race. And then a third word, and that's also in verse 6. And then a third word is hamartolos. Looks like that in the Greek, H-A-M-A-R-T, long O-L-O-S, hamartolos. Hamartolos means sinners, and that's in verse 8. And then the fourth word that describes the human race is ekthros, excuse me, ekthros. Looks like that in the Greek, that's E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S. And ekthros means enemies, the enemies of God. And that's in verse 10. So, you have to understand who and what man is like. Who and what the human race is like, and you have to understand who and what God is like. And in this paragraph, we see that the human race is weak and powerless and helpless and hopeless, asthenes. It's ungodly, asabase. It's sinners, hamartolos. It's enemies of God, ekthros. And then you have to also know that God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice, a holy God. You have to know who and what God is. And a holy God cannot allow sinful man into heaven. So, God in His infinite and matchless grace designed Operation Grace, the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ took our place and paid the penalty for all of the world's sins. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world's problem of sin by His work on the cross. God the Father loved the whole world with infinite virtue love. And if you are come to our Thursday night classes, we are in the great three chapters, 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5, the greatest dissertation in the God-breathed scriptures on virtue love. And you have there stated a couple of times, God is love. Now, I've heard a lot of different Christians say God is love, and they haven't got a clue as to what that means. But most Christians don't know what it means either. God is love. When it says God is love, yes, that's an attribute, one of the attributes of God. God the Father is infinite love. God the Son is infinite love. God the Holy Spirit is infinite love. But God is love. God is infinite virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. And this is described and defined very, very clearly in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 5. And we are just getting cracking on that in chapter 3, but it gets better and better and better and better. And by the time we get done, I expect all of you to truly understand the attribute of God called love. God is virtue love. God has impersonal love for all mankind. And He has impersonal love for all mankind when we were at our worst. That's what it's saying here. We are at our worst. We're weak, we're powerless, we're helpless, we're hopeless, we're ungodly, we're sinners, we're enemies. And while mankind is at its worst, God loves us with infinite virtue love, impersonal love for us when we are at our worst. That's virtue love. God the Father's infinite impersonal love for all motivated His salvation plan, Operation Grace, the cross. And I know you all know this. I bet I can call on any one of you and say, repeat John 3:16. Probably that's one verse that everybody in here knows, John 3:16. Well, it's a great verse. For God loved the world so much. The whole world. The world. All humanity. And what is the world? Well, we're weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, ungodly, sinners and enemies of God. And yet God loved us when we were at our worst. He loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son. He sent His eternal Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas to take on true humanity. The Son of God had to take on true humanity. Deity can't die. So He had to take on true humanity. Why? His mission was to go to a cross. And what was He going to do on the cross? Solve the world problem of sin. God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on His Son, Christ, on the cross, and then He judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. And what was the motivation for this? God's virtue love, impersonal love for the whole world. God loved the world so much He gave His uniquely born Son and His work on the cross, eternal salvation, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And then we have it coming up in our paragraph, the much more of justification in our in our paragraph. Verse 8 is coming up. I'll give you previews of coming attractions. But God demonstrates His own love, virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind, to us, to the entire human race, in that while we were yet sinners, at our worst, Christ died spiritual death, His salvation work on the cross, in behalf of us, as a substitute for us. That is infinite virtue love expressed to the entire human race. So God the Father, infinite impersonal love for all, motivated His salvation plan of the cross, Operation Grace, John 3:16, Romans 5:8, our paragraph on the much more of justification. And the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is God the Father infinite virtue love, God the Son is infinite virtue love. And the Lord Jesus Christ, infinite impersonal love for all, motivated Him to willingly carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. He willingly went to the cross, received the imputation of the sins of the whole world, and then received the judgment for those sins. And He did so out of impersonal love for all. When we were at our worst, He loved us with infinite impersonal love for all. Salvation is by grace. Man is absolutely nothing, and God is everything. Man comes into the world in spiritual death and total depravity, weak and powerless, ungodly, enemies and sinners. God, in His infinite virtue love, infinite impersonal love for all mankind, based on His infinite virtue, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, provided a salvation to mankind's problem of sin and the hope of eternal salvation, a personal relationship with the living and true God and fellowship with Him. We can have an eternal relationship with the living and true God because of Operation Grace, the cross, through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And we've exegeted a part of verse 6. I'm going to go ahead and give you the whole thing, what it's going to sound like. Romans 5:6. For while we were still weak, that's the osthenes, powerless, helpless, hopeless, yet Christ died spiritual death on the cross, His salvation work on the cross, as a substitute for the ungodly. There's asabase, ungodly, all unbelievers of mankind at the exact right time. All right? The word Christos is the transliterated Christ. But you are an enlightened congregation, and you know that that's a transliteration, but it doesn't tell you what it means. Christos literally means the anointed one. And it is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach, which is also transliterated Messiah. And it literally means the anointed one. Therefore, when the Bible says Jesus is the Christ, it is dogmatically declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one of God the Father. Christ is the only Redeemer. Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever. While man is totally weak and powerless, Christ is infinite strength and power. We are nothing. Christ is everything. It is impossible for the unbeliever to establish a personal relationship with the living and true God by his own works, by his own ability, who and what he is or what he does. Christ is the basis of our eternal salvation. In His infinite power, strength, genuine humility, impersonal love for all, Christ fulfilled the incarnation plan that the Father designed for Him, Operation Grace, the cross. Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by His work on the cross. Christ did something for man which man could never do for himself. Christ provided a way for man to have a personal relationship with Him. And then the adverb eti means yet or still. In spite of the spiritual death and total depravity of mankind, yet Christ died for the ungodly at the exact right time. Now we're going to have a word that's used here several times in this paragraph on the much more of justification, and that is the Greek word apothnesko. A-P-O-T-H. Oops. Don't you hate that whoops when it comes in there? Okay. Where is the eraser? It's on the end of the pen? Why didn't anybody else tell me that? Maybe you probably did. It's on the end of the pen. Just hang on, it gets better. N, long E, S, K, long O, apothnesko. Now this word is going to be used several times. It's going to be used for physical death, and then it's going to be used for spiritual death. Same word. And when it's used of physical death, it's going to be used of mankind in a very, very honorable way. It's, you see it in the military, men fighting the enemy in battle, and they are a team. They become a team. They work together. They train together. They understand how they all function as a team. And sometimes they're called upon to give their life for this team. And that is sacred honor. Duty, honor, country. And they're willing to give their life to save their comrades. There have been times, some of you serve in the military, you are totally aware of this. You are aware of the fact that there are times when a grenade would be thrown and into a group of soldiers, and one man would dive on that grenade and give up his life. He would die to save the life of everyone else there. That is honor. That is what the greatest part of the military. Duty, sacred honor, country. That's the best. And from time to time, that takes place. But they're doing it for the best. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to, this word's going to be used for the Lord Jesus Christ for His spiritual death, His salvation work on the cross. The difference is, He's doing it for us when we are the worst. When we are at our worst. So first of all, apothnesko here, it literally means to die. This is the spiritual death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It speaks of the salvation work of Christ on the cross. It speaks of those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m. when God the Father brought a supernatural darkness over the land. For during that 3 hour period, from 12 noon to 3 p.m., God the Father was gathering up the sins of the whole world, pouring them out on His Son, Jesus Christ, and then He judged them in Christ once and for all. At the end of that 3 hours of darkness and judgment, the darkness left, but the Lord Jesus Christ was still alive. And that is when the world, the whole world, heard the greatest victory cry it will ever hear. Tetelestai, it is finished. All the work for salvation was completed by Christ on the cross. So that now anyone, any place, anywhere can receive the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness by simply believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Now the aorist tense of apothnesko is a constative aorist. A constative aorist. It views the salvation work of Christ on the cross in its entirety. So here's the 3 hours. There's hour number one, there's hour number two, there's hour number three. From the time from 12 noon to 3 p.m., as God the Father imputed the sins of the world to Jesus Christ and then judged those sins in Christ on the cross. That's looks at that entire 3 hour period, that entire salvation work of Christ on the cross. From 12 noon to 3 p.m. That's the constative aorist. The active voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, performed the action of the verb, His spiritual death, salvation work on the cross. The indicative mood is declarative, this the dogmatic certainty and reality of the salvation work of Christ on the cross, His spiritual death. Now, I'll ask you a question. For whom did Christ go to the cross and endure the imputation and judgment of the world's sins? Did He do it for honorable people, noble people? Did He do it for nice and good people? No. He did it for the ungodly, the sinners, and His enemies. The preposition huper is a preposition of substitution. It may be translated for the sake of, in behalf of, instead of, in place of, or as a substitute for. And then we have the noun asabes. A-S-E-B, long E-S, asabes. And asabes is an adjective, and as an adjective it means godless, impious, ungodly. However, many times this adjective is used as a substantive. That means it's used as a noun. When it's used as a noun, it is translated the ungodly ones. And it's used in the scriptures as a technical term for all unbelievers. This is a technical term for unbelievers, the ungodly for unbelievers. This emphasizes mankind's spiritual death, total depravity. And then the preposition kata plus the accusative singular of kairos Kata plus Kairos. That's K-A-T-A, K-A-I-R-O-S. Kata Kairos. Kata Kairos means the favorable time, the proper time, the exact right time. And that's how we're going to translate it. The exact right time. At the exact right time. So the corrected translation. For while we were still asthenes, weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, yet Christ died, spiritual death on the cross, 3 hours, 12 noon to 3 p.m., as a substitute for the ungodly, all unbelievers, at the exact right time. One. Operation Grace, the cross, took place at the exact right time in human history. The exact right time in human history. Two, the imputation of the sins of the world to Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins was on God's perfect timing. God has perfect timing. In everything that's going on in His plan, God's timing is perfect. Man's timing is imperfect. God's timing is absolutely perfect. God never hurries, but He's exactly right on time. Two, so the imputation of the sins of the world to Christ on the cross and the judgment of those sins was on God's perfect timing. Three, God is perfect, and therefore God's timing is perfect. God is perfect, God's timing is perfect. Four, man is imperfect, and therefore man's timing is imperfect. God is perfect, therefore God's timing is perfect. Any other timing in history has problems connected with it. But point five, God is never early, He's never late, He is always right on time. So verse 6 again sounds like this. For while we were still weak, asthenes, weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, yet Christ died, spiritual death on the cross, as a substitute for the ungodly, the asabes, all unbelievers of mankind, of humanity, at the exact right time. Now, in verses 7 and 8, we have a representative analogy. Representative analogy. In Romans 5, 7, we have human motivation in physical death. In Romans 5, 8, we have divine motivation in spiritual death. So in Romans 5, 7, human motivation in physical death. Romans 5, 8, divine motivation in spiritual death. This is a representative analogy. Human motivation in physical death in verse 7 is compared to divine motivation in spiritual death in verse 8. All right, Romans 5, 7, human motivation in physical death. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the adverb molus plus the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive singular of dikaios plus the indefinite pronoun tis with the future active indicative of apothenesco. The conjunction gar looks like this. G-A-R, gar. And Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 151, says that in our verse, Romans 5:7, it should be correctly translated, indeed. And that's how we'll translate it, indeed. And then we have the adverb molus. M-O-L-I-S, molus. And molus means scarcely, not readily, only rarely. In other words, what Paul is now writing in verse 7, what happens here occasionally happens, but it's very rare. The indefinite pronoun tis looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Tis, it means everyone. It means anyone. The indefinite pronoun always refers to a specific category. And that specific category is those who would give their life for another. It happens occasionally. It happens rarely. And then we have apothenesco, repeated again, literally to die. But here it refers to physical death. Christ on the cross, that was emphasizing his spiritual death, his salvation work on the cross. As summarized in the phrase, the blood of Christ, a very fantastic phrase in the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So here, with man, this is physical death. This is someone giving his life in order to save someone else. And occasionally, this has occurred in human history. I think you see it perhaps more in times of war, in battle, under the principle of duty and sacred honor in country. A man in the military will willingly give his life to save his comrades. The future tense is a nomic future. The nomic future expresses the tendency or likelihood that something will happen. The active voice, very rarely someone will give his life to save, and the word here is a dikaios person, a righteous person. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of Bible doctrine. The preposition huper plus the genitive, once again, is substitutionary for the sake of, in behalf of, in the place of, and then dikaios. Now here's the contrast in this representative analogy. D-I-K-A-I-O-S, dikaios. That's the word righteous. Dikaiosune, righteousness. Dikaiao, declare one to be righteous. This is righteous. This is a righteous man, a man of that has human righteousness. This is a man of human integrity. This is a man with human honor. Like so many visible heroes serving in the military of our country over the history of the United States of America, there have been many, many visible heroes that gave the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their life for their country. And this is the concept here. So indeed, very rarely will anyone die in behalf of a righteous person, someone with human virtue and honor. And then it says, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. Notice the difference. In this representative analogy, we have a man rarely giving his life for a righteous man, a man of honor and virtue, or for a good man. But what did Christ do when he was on the cross? He, in spiritual death, he died for his enemies, for sinners, for the ungodly. He died for us when we were at our worst. In this analogy, this contrast, occasionally a man will die for others when the others are at their best, when man's at his best. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and solved our problem of sin when we were at our worst. The exact opposite. So yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. This is the post-positive conjunction gar with the adverb taka, plus the prepositional phrase huper, plus the genitive singular of agathos with the definite article. Once again, the indefinite pronoun tis, this time with the conjunction kai, and the present active subjunctive of tomao with the aorist active infinitive of apothenesco. Gar, again, is Arntgen Gingrich, page 151, should be translated indeed. And then the adverb taka. T-A-C-H-A. Taka. And taka means perhaps, possibly, probably. Once again, the indefinite pronoun tis refers to a definite category, namely someone who would give his life for someone else. The conjunction kai is the ascensive kai, should be translated even. And once again, the prepositional phrase huper plus the genitive is substitution. For the sake of, on behalf of, in place of. And this time, we have agathos. We had dikaios, now we have agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos. And agathos is used with the definite article as a substantive, a noun. It's a good man. Good in the visible world. Honorable. With virtue. And then we have the verb tomao. T-O-L-M-A long O. Tomao. One, tomao means to dare. To have the courage. To be brave enough. To dare, to have the courage, to be brave enough. Two, this is a verb for moral courage. Three, this courage is in the soul. Apothenesco again means to die. Here again it refers to physical death. To give your life for someone else. Corrected translation, indeed, possibly, in behalf of a good person, someone might even be brave enough to die. All right? Let's look at verses 6 and 7 then together. For while we were still asthenes, weak, powerless, helpless, and hopeless, yet Christ died, spiritual death on the cross, as a substitute for the asabes, the ungodly, all unbelievers of human history, at the exact right time. Indeed, Very rarely will anyone die in behalf of a righteous person, someone with human virtue and honor. Indeed, possibly in behalf of a good person, someone might even be brave enough to die. All right, that's getting ready for the contrast with the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8. And we'll take our break and give you a chance to go outside and warm up. And I'll be working on how to do the eraser on this thing.